Shire is a leading global specialty biopharmaceutical company with a focus on helping people with life-altering conditions to lead better lives. While Shire's portfolio of ADHD medicines helps patients diagnosed with ADHD, we recognize the need to provide additional support to them and their families. And that's why we at Shire value our local, regional, and international partnerships that are designed to develop and enhance programs to improve the understanding and awareness of ADHD. At Shire, people diagnosed with ADHD have our full attention. To learn more about Shire, visit www.shire.com.
To Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and it's leap day, leap year, whatever you call it. It's basically February the 29th in the year 2012. It's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're broadcasting from our virtual studio in Tampa, Florida. We have a slight adjustment tonight. The original scheduled show was study strategies, what works for ADHD and how is it different, but I believe that we have had a communication error with Ann Dolan, our host tonight. We had some emails going out to her to confirm the show, and the bottom line is I'm pretty sure that they didn't make it to her. So not to fear, we've got some solutions. We're just going to have to make some adjustments. We are prepared for just such a thing. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to air The Impact of ADHD on Sex and Intimacy, the sequel. Originally I had interviewed Gina Pera back last May, I believe it was last May in the year 2011, on the original The Impact of ADHD on Sex and Intimacy. It was a fascinating interview. We didn't cover everything, and so we actually had to kind of do a sequel. Now, I recorded this show with Gina back in November after I had interviewed Kathleen Ellison. So note at the beginning of the show, I kind of made an adjustment about Pulitzer Prize winning author. Gina is an exceptionally good author. She wrote some great books. One is You, Me, or My ADHD, and which is, we'll talk about actually in the show. And so we're going to get to that in a second. So my apologies to anybody who's tuning in tonight that was wanting to hear Ann. Please go to facebook.com/attentiontalkradio because we'll make some announcements. We're going to have her on next week, but for the show we're going to have tonight, we're going to make some adjustments and we'll make some announcements there to let you kind of know what's going on. A few quick announcements before we get into things. The CHAD conference this year is scheduled for November 8th through the 12th. It's in San Francisco, California. So mark your calendars. To learn more, go to chadd.org. Also, for those that are Facebook fans that are interested in upcoming shows but don't like going to attentiontalkradio.com or don't like going to our Facebook page, if you'll go to our Facebook page once, that's facebook.com/attentiontalkradio, and click on the live show newsletter tab on the left-hand side, you can sign up for our newsletter, and twice a month we'll actually send you a list of our upcoming shows. Let's see. Speaking of that, we actually have a blockbuster month coming up in March. Not only do we have an Ann coming in talking about helping kids with homework, even if the parent has ADHD, which will be a follow-up tonight, of which we're going to reschedule. Ruth Hughes from CHAD is going to come on the next week talking about the ADHD medication shortages. And then the following, Dr. Russell Barkley is coming on to talk about executive functioning in adults with ADHD, a new construct. I'm going to tell you, tune into that show. I actually had to pre-record that with Dr. Barkley, and it's fascinating. It's very insightful, definitely in the top couple interviews that we've done here. And then at the end of the month, we're having Steve Gundy in talking about coaching dual diagnosis ADHD and developmental disabilities, and which is another fascinating show that I haven't seen a lot about. So with that, again, our apologies for our adjustment, but we're going to go ahead with the Gina Pera sequel. I hope you enjoy it. So with that, without further ado, here we go. Our topic tonight is the impact of ADHD on Sex and Intimacy, the sequel. This is the second show we've actually done on this topic. With us today in our virtual studio is Gina Pera, and we are back with the sequel because I had too much fun in the last show talking about this with Gina, and we didn't cover nearly the material that I wanted to, so we definitely had to do a sequel. So, Gina, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jeff. Nice to be with you again. That was a fun show. I'm glad for the sequel.
And if everybody out there, I'll warn you, by the time you're listening to this, I will have tweeted and Facebooked a whole bunch of stuff because I got so many notes that I'll be sharing with you just because it was fun kind of listening to what we had covered last time in preparation for this one. So before we kind of get into some stuff, now, Gina, you're a Pulitzer Prize-winning print journalist, correct?
Actually, no. I haven't won a Pulitzer Prize, but I've won other awards. My book has won 4 awards. And as a journalist in my previous life, I won some awards.
Sure. And the book that you're speaking of is You, Me, and or Adult ADHD?
Yes. It's called Is It You, Me, or Adult ADD?
And today we're actually going to be talking about one of the chapters in that book in a little bit more detail. Now, in addition to that, you also do a fair amount of lecturing.
Yes, I do presentations across the country, webinars, that kind of thing. That I love getting out and talking to real people instead of being at the computer all the time.
It's kind of
fun.
Can I just mention,
Jeff, that well, maybe this is not the right timing with the CHAD conference coming up, but it is coming up soon, and I'll be speaking there.
Yeah, actually, we're going to probably run the show after the CHAD conference. So for all you guys out there that are interested in what she's going to do, if you go to CHAD, I think you'll probably be able to buy MP3 or CD of your lecture. So, you got a couple topics there, right?
Yes, I'm giving a pre-conference institute with Dr. Arthur Robin on ADHD and relationships. And then during the regular conference, I'll be giving a presentation on poor coping strategies or symptoms and how can you tell and what to do.
Those will be exciting. So, again, everybody out there, this is going to probably be run after that. So if you've got any interest, if you go to chadd.org, go to conference area, kind of work your way through. I know that they sell these lectures and stuff afterwards. To frame things out, last time we did the show originally because I was fascinated about ADHD and its impact on different parts of your life, whether it's sex and intimacy or religion or things that are not necessarily traditional. And I had run into Gina after looking high and low for somebody on this particular topic, and I knew when I talked to her she was the perfect one to have on. And the goal of the last show, and actually this show too, was basically to get information out there that ADHD does impact sex and intimacy, and that if it is impacting your relationship, that you're not alone out there, and actually to just kind of talk about what's kind of going on and help you find some resources and kind of shortcut some of the stuff. So like in our last show, Gina, we were talking about, you started to try to get information on this, what, like 10 years ago?
1999, actually, is when it started.
And you did that your husband has ADD, and you got interested in the topic and did some research on it, and when you went out there, you didn't really find that much at first. It took a while for you to kind of stumble your way through, and then ultimately you found some information. I guess Daniel Amen had a book that you credit as being very helpful.
Yes, he was really one of the first people to talk about this, and he did a book called Attention Deficit Disorder in Intimate Relationships, and I have it in front of me now. It's a spiral-bound, book. It's like a, 8.5 by 11 spiral bound. So this was an early effort.
Mm.
He deserves a lot of credit for being in the forefront of this.
And after you got this information, you kind of started a support group for the non-ADD partners, correct?
Yes, I did, because I found that our experience with therapy or even with physicians, I just thought, surely it's got to be better than this, what we were getting. Surely the treatment can't be worse than the symptoms.
Yep.
And, I've been a journalist for many years, and my journalism training focused a lot on solid research techniques. And, I started reading the scientific papers. I started reading the professional guides. I started an online support group because I figure surely there must be others.
Mm-hmm.
Who were having the same issues, and sure enough, there were. And started as a local group in the Bay Area, but then we had requests from around the world. So anybody that reads and writes English is welcome to join. It's free. So, yeah, and I started asking these questions, and eventually I did a survey because I wanted to know, I wanted a stronger method to gather data rather than just whoever responded to a post.
Certainly, and we're hopefully going to we didn't talk a lot of detail about the survey, but hopefully we're going to get it a little bit later today. But if you want to learn more about Gina's search for information and stuff, just go back and listen to the original show, which was aired, I believe, back in May of 2011. But the first part we talked about, the second part is we just kind of talked about the symptoms, and we had a good time because we kind of outlined that there's kind of four ways that you look at. One was the physical act itself, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
Then there's the emotional side, the cooperation and kind of working together, and then talking about the lack of awareness or denial. And it was great because in the first show you talked a lot about, like the physical act, like ADD kind of getting in the way and some people not actually being able to focus on the physical act itself. Other times, like sleep issues kind of come into play that can kind of affect it. It was really eye-opening for me because while I had the idea of wanting to do the show, Gina did a great job in our first show really laying out some very specific type things and explaining them that really made some sense of how this stuff can kind of create some problems. If somebody's got some sleep issues and they're not coming to bed till 2 o'clock in the morning, the partner's kind of given up by then waiting for them to get there, and it kind of makes some sense so you can see how ADHD and its symptoms and or issues can impact in these particular areas.
That's true, but you know what? As the survey showed, half the partners responding were happy with their sex life. So, as I always like to emphasize, ADHD is not a cookie cutter condition. You know, it affects, but this can, all these symptoms and issues can conspire to create a not very happy sex life.
It really can. Want to highlight again for this area. I just kind of wanted to do an overview on this for those who haven't listened to the show. Just encourage you to go back and listen to it. It's good stuff. And then just real quickly at the end of the show, we really kind of talked briefly about really kind of what works, things that you can do, or just some things to kind of focus on to kind of help improve the situation and kind of move forward. It's really kind of some good practical stuff. And I guess with that being said, Gina, from the first show, do you recall anything that you'd like to really kind of highlight or bring out?
Well, you know, this should go without saying, but I should say it. Some people take stimulant medication, they take it in the morning, and even the long-acting ones often are not still in effect, you know, by 6 or 7 that night. So if you are planning to have some time together, some people take a short-acting stimulant beforehand.
I remember that stood out. You were explaining sometimes that, like, women actually have it organized the first time they have take a stimulant because they're actually able to sit and kind of focus on what's going on. Am I recounting that correctly?
Yeah. I've definitely heard that before. The late diagnosis issue also complicates things because you can have a lifetime of thinking that things should be a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we talk about, and Russ Ramsey has done such a great job of creating models for and refining the CBT model for ADHD, and you have these cognitive distortions, things you've told yourself, all your life because you don't know it's ADHD having this effect. And the same applies to, you know, your sex life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no good at this, you know, I'm going to disappoint my partner, I can never please my partner, I don't, you know, this is, sex shouldn't take so long, what sex is, you know, if it goes beyond 5 minutes, it's boring or whatever. And so, you know, you have to reassess some of those cognitive distortions too when it comes to sex.
Certainly. I want to kind of go to break right now. When we come back, the only thing I left I want to touch on, just because we want to lighten up the show a little bit, is we talked a little bit about waffles. I'll tease you a little bit in our last show. And we're going to get into it. We're going to have a little bit of fun using some bunnies here in a second. But before we go to break, Gina, for those that are interested in learning more about you or purchasing your book, if I understand correctly, the best place for them to go is ADHDRollerCoaster.com.
That's good.
Again, they can purchase the book off that website, right?
Well, there are links to it on Amazon, and it's at Barnes & Noble and wherever.
And if they want to contact you, there's a contact button they can kind of click and send you an email?
Yes. I also write a blog at ADHDRollerCoaster.org.
Okay. So again, with that, if you want some more information, ADHDRollerCoaster.com, and the blog is .org. And with that, we'll be right back.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
ADHD, is it real? How is it diagnosed? How do I know if I have it or if my children have it? Do you outgrow it? You have questions and we have answers. We're CHAD, a national organization made up of professionals, parents, educators, and of course, those with ADHD. So if you want real answers to your questions, join CHAD at www.chadd.org or call us at 800-233-4050.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
I'm Jeff Copper, host of Attention Talk Radio, here to talk to you about CopyTalk.com, a voice dictation service. This is not just some voice dictation software. It's a real dictation service by people who type whatever you want. When I need to document something, all I do is hit speed dial on my cell or work phone and start speaking. The folks at CopyTalk will type it up and email it back to me that day. The best part is I can dictate as many 4-minute messages as I want, all for one flat monthly fee. Go to copytalk.com/ATR, enter Jeff Copper as the referrer's name, and sign up for the free trial account today. If you tell them I sent you, then you'll get $20 off the monthly subscription for as long as you keep the service.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
This is your ADHD information station, Attention Talk Radio. You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the sequel of the impact of ADHD on sex and intimacy. And with us in our virtual studio is Gina Pera. We're having her back from the first one because we had so much fun and did a great time. And Gina, in the last show, I was sharing an experience to try to illustrate, I guess, some of the things that you were talking about a woman who I was explaining that I was having on the show, and she said, "Oh, every time I have sex, I think of waffles." And she went on to explain how she gets distracted by the fan in the room and how she needs to turn it off. And if she turned it off and the electricity went out, that would solve that problem. But the refrigerator if the power's taken off, would not get its power. It would defrost. And what would happen to the waffles? And it was kind of fun because it illustrated like maybe the mind of those with ADHD, how it can be wandered and distracted, and show how in having some intimacy, how that can be a little bit of an issue. And I guess I kind of wanted to kind of, in this segment, kind of talk about, in your book, you kind of share with when you're in, I guess, kind of support groups and you're talking about this and it gets a little tense or it gets kind of funny that you kind of start to categorize things and use kind of bunnies, which is kind of associated with sex, as a way to kind of like put this into kind of classifications. What inspired you to write this, to do that for the first time and actually put it in the book?
Oh, well, you know, I think we have to use humor, and not to make light of these issues, but because sometimes people can get so locked up in these kind of traumatic cycles that a shock of humor can kind of, you know,
mm-hmm.
be like a glass of cold water in the face. It can kind of like, it can kind of lighten the situation.
Uh-huh.
It can kind of say, okay, this is something to deal with, but it's not something that we cannot conquer. It's not mm-hmm. overpowering. It's not because really both people in the couple sometimes after a few years of being together, not knowing that ADHD is affecting the relationship, both of them can be down spiraling into despair very
mm-hmm.
easily. So the humor just kind of, I hope it doesn't make light of what can be a serious situation, but it does just kind of jolt people out of one mind state and into another and kind of break that cycle of trauma and hopelessness and despair. So I kind of try to walk that fine line. So,
and I think that's important. And one of the reasons why I thought it would be fun to kind of go through this with it, again, it goes back to the purpose of the show, is if you're listening to the show and you're in a relationship and you're trying to find information out there, there's not a lot of it available still. And if you run into this, I hope that you realize that you're not alone out there, that there are some people in this experience. And this is just to really kind of help get you thinking about it a little bit, and just this, I think this is just kind of a fun thing that you kind of put in the book to kind of speak to some of the stuff a little bit. So I guess in the book you talk about, well, earlier in the show you kind of stated that many people in the survey that you had done said, you know, their sex life was, in fact, sometimes the best part of their relationship, correct?
Yeah, sometimes the only good part of the relationship.
So, again, this is not to say that everybody's got some issues and stuff like that, but when they're not, one of the common complaints is either it's sex all the time or never.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I use the – I was trying to think of an analogy where I could you know, I'd like to keep emphasizing that ADHD is not cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm.
If you come up with these, you know, simplistic stereotypes and platitudes about ADHD, you're going to miss a lot of people, and a lot of people are not going to be able to connect and think, oh, this is me, and, you know, here's something I can, you know, a new way I can look at this and deal with this. So I tried to break it down that, you know, different kind of bunnies when you think of, you know, sex procreation, you think of bunnies. So there's the energizer bunnies and who will self-medicate with sex, you know, and want it all the time. It's how they deal with their emotions. You know, as I write in the book, these are people with, if they're happy, have sex. If they're frustrated, have sex. If they're nervous, have sex. It's their go-to outlet for expressing emotion because it's kind of simple and direct and always there.
And actually, sex also, I mean, it stimulates the brain, right?
It does, I guess you could say that, but would it also, depending on the kind of sex it is, you know, it can also create kind of an addiction.
Uh-huh.
Because you can have this dopamine flood in the brain and creates an addiction like anything else, you know, dopamine
mm-hmm.
receptors downregulate, mm-hmm. you know, shut off because they go, whoa, too much dopamine, let's,
yep.
You know, batten the hatches. And I'm simplifying this, of course, but
yep.
And so then there's that need for the next quick fix. And I think we all know or should know that porn addiction is a big problem in this country. And you know, I hear that a lot in the group too. You know, their partners
mm-hmm.
aren't interested in them because the porn is right there. You know,
mm-hmm.
and it's online. It's accessible as never before.
Well, I'm not a mental health professional by any stretch of the imagination, but it does seem to me that there is a certain amount of stimulation and excitement around it, and those with ADHD like stimulation and excitement.
Yes.
So it's easy to see why sometimes they might gravitate to that or even have more of a problem with that than maybe others.
Right. Yeah, sure.
So,
And there's also the power surge bunnies.
Uh-huh.
You know, these are the ones that hyper-focus so sharply that they zoom to the finish line. And, you know, some might call this, I think they're calling it early ejaculation now,
uh-huh.
not premature ejaculation. But it can be an issue, especially with younger men with ADHD. And actually the stimulants can help slow that sometimes.
Really?
That's now, the opposite might be true. With older men, the stimulants might affect their blood pressure,
uh-huh.
and so that can cause more erectile dysfunction.
Okay.
So, you know, it depends on your age group, you know, how the stimulants might help or hurt this issue.
Certainly, but stimulants can have an impact here, right? Positive
yeah.
and negative on things that you might not necessarily have thought.
Right, right.
Okay. So we have Energizer Bunny, we have the Power Surge Bunny, and next is the...
The generic battery bunnies. They start off great, but then they don't last very long. You know, this is the hyper-focus, you know, the stereotypical hyper-focus courtship, you know, wanting sex all the time, and then, boom, nothing. It can often just stop on a dime.
Uh-huh.
After months, weeks, even days sometimes.
Interesting. So that's just like, it gets all jazzed up, the novelty of it, and wears off after a while, they're on to other things.
Right.
And then we have
the doomy bunnies.
Yeah.
And they, you could say they lack an internal power source.
Uh-huh.
And they need outer stimulation, or they need a partner to initiate. And what's funny, and this is where denial can come into play, they might even feel victimized and neglected if their partner doesn't initiate all the time.
And so we talked about blame and initiation back in our last show in more detail. So for those out there that want to know more, I encourage you to go
right
back and listen to the show. But again, this is one where there's not internal motivation. They're more passive, and that would be the do me bunny.
Yeah, and they don't even realize it, though. You know, is the point.
Mm-hmm.
They think that this is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't even have a conception that they might be able to initiate a little better, or that they should. You know,
that's interesting. So then we have the indifferent bunnies.
Yeah, you know, those are the ones who just don't, you know, they just don't care about sex. Now, sometimes this can be just, you know, sexual desire is on a spectrum like everything
mm-hmm.
else, I would
mm-hmm.
imagine. And but they don't get it because sometimes symptoms can just interfere. They're not focused on it. They're not thinking about it. They're going from one other stimulating thing to the next.
Mm. That's interesting. They just it's not that they the drive's not there. They're just indifferent. Other things are occupying their mind. They just go about their lives and it doesn't even enter.
Or you know, it could again be these, you know, kind of the late diagnosis baggage. They
uh-huh.
they might have sensory overload issues, and
uh-huh.
so they've just developed an aversion to sex, and they don't understand why everybody thinks it's great to have people
what?
You know doing
yep.
annoying things on their body. They just don't get it. They're
uh-huh.
not in that that. You know, that place where they understand it.
Wow. So, and then the next one are the blaming bunnies. Tell me about that one.
Well, this is really confounding. And again, it comes back to this low insight. These will be people who they lose interest in sex. They might be quick to lose interest, or they're not don't initiate it, but they don't know that it's them that might have the problem. They will blame it on their partner. They will say, oh, well, you know, if you just wore that black negligee, or if you just worked out more and had better abs, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, they keep, you know, as I was saying before, if we don't know the reason for something, we can keep trying to solve the mystery in all kinds of ways.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Yeah, this is my favorite quote from the last show. I wrote this one down. The human brain likes to solve mysteries, right? So you try to come up with answers. If you don't know you're dealing with ADHD, you can come up with a bunch of cockamamie answers.
Right.
And I think that
right.
really applies here is like, wait a second, this person, if they're blaming the other person for their lack of interest, and they're coming up with all these wild ideas about why what's going on and blaming it, well, it's not my fault, it must
right.
be yours.
Yeah, they can't imagine that anything would be wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just know that you're not stirring their desire.
Mm-hmm.
Like one couple, she said that her husband, and she had you know, previously a pretty good sex life with her long-term boyfriends, and she couldn't understand what was happening with her husband and, or, you know, future husband. And he said, well, you know, maybe if your hair was blonde, or maybe if you got it, I think you should get a tattoo on your butt. Or,
uh-huh.
you know, what about a mirror on the ceiling? And how about these nipple clips? And, you know, whatever, you know, maybe we
uh-huh.
need more, what did she say? You know, like erotic pictures on the
uh-huh.
wall or something.
Wow.
And so she was trying to do all these things. And then finally she just thought, he just doesn't find me attractive. And,
uh-huh.
and it can be very easy. Even this formerly confident person
yep.
can start thinking, I'm not sexually attractive.
Mm-hmm.
But then she ended up talking to an ex-boyfriend, and he said, oh, no, it's not you.
I'll stop there.
It's not you.
Yeah, we got one more I want to kind of cover before we go to break, and
okay.
that's the clueless bunny.
Yeah. Well, you know, in a way, these all some of them overlap. They just
mm-hmm.
don't get it. They don't understand why their partner's upset that
mm-hmm.
there is no intimacy, and keep
mm-hmm.
you know, just it just doesn't fly on their radar screen. It will
mm-hmm.
be on the radar screen when their partner's in their face about it, but then it's completely off, and they don't understand what the big deal is.
Is this like kind of what I when you started saying this, I started thinking they're missing social cues. Part of it, I mean, that's not all of it, but it's not high. it's not a top priority, and they're just kind of missing the boat on what it's really kind of all about.
Yes, and this is where a lack of empathy can come in.
Mm.
And ADHD can impair one's sense of empathy.
Mm.
Because, you know, empathy is one of those feelings you have to reflect a bit. You have to kind of stop and put yourself in another person's shoes and imagine how they would feel. And reflection is not often an ADHD strong suit.
You
know, that's one of the traits that's, you know, not considered, you know, very strong, the stop and reflecting and those more subtle feelings. So often, often empathy will improve. I hear this a lot. When the medication starts and suddenly the person can stop and notice and think and, you know, connect past events and see, you know, the pattern over time.
Uh-huh.
So that's when they start getting a clue.
Certainly. So, in summary, again, if you want more information on this, you can find it in Gina's book. I think it's actually chapter 6. Is it You, Me, or Adult ADD? And again, we just kind of went through this bunny thing. Just kind of, again, if you're out there and you're dealing with this kind of stuff, just kind of classify it a little bit, let you know that you're not alone. And I'm sure that there's other bunnies that are not listed here, but this just kind of starts to get you thinking about it a little bit. So I want to go to a break. When we come back, I want to talk, Gina, a little bit about the survey that you did and some of the findings, because I think some of it is some stuff that people wouldn't expect. Again, before we go, I want to remind everybody that you can, if you go to ADHD Roller Coaster, .com. You can find links to Gina's book, get more information, and if you go to ADHDRollerCoaster.org, you can see her blog. With that, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. We're with Gina Pera in our virtual studio, and we're doing a sequel to The Impact of ADHD on Sex and Intimacy. At the top of the show, we kind of reviewed a little bit of what we covered in our first show. We had a little fun the second segment, kind of just looking at some of the things that are kind of going on and using some bunnies as a fun way to do that. Gina, in your book, you actually have some information here, a result of the survey that you did, and I just... we'd like to kind of talk about this a little bit. Again, we're not going to go through all of it. Everybody, you can get this information if you buy Gina's book. But one of the things that that was interesting to me was how, I guess, the number one complaint, I guess it is I would feel sexier if my partner helped me more at home.
Right. And this sounds like the classic male-female thing. You know, we see all the surveys showing that even when there's two working adults or two working parents in the home, that the females often do more. But often this will be the men saying this too. That their wives, that they're doing everything at home. They're getting the kids ready for school. They're doing the household chores and working a full-time job.
And the second one, it was blaming the partner for everything.
Well, actually, the second one was the lack of sex is one of the biggest challenges in this relationship.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I misread that. That's as one of the biggest challenges.
Yeah, that's 40%, which is, you know, that's pretty big.
That is big. What are some other ones out here that kind of came in that were from your perspective, eye-opening?
Well, the next one is my partner blames our lack of sex on me, even though his or her reasons don't make sense.
Mm.
And that's what we were talking about before. You know, the partner with ADHD might come up with explanations that just don't make sense. You know, but they're trying to make sense of it in their own world, not knowing they have ADHD, not remembering, you know, cause and effect and events from the past.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is my partner's lack of interest in sex has eroded my sexual confidence.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so this is a bigger issue than a lot of people realize. Because, you know, sex is where the bonding takes place for a lot of people.
Yep.
And if there's no bonding and there's all this, you know, other stuff, you know, the,
yep,
the traffic
yep.
fines or whatever, you know, it's harder to look past some of the day-to-day issues.
Certainly, certainly. Well, that one of the things that I've learned or has gotten me thinking and talking about this, Gene, is if you are out there and you find yourself gravitating to the show and you're interested in this particular topic, there's kind of two crowds out there. One of it is those people who really don't, they suspect they have ADHD, they don't really know a lot about it, in which case the first thing that comes to mind is you need to get an education on what it's all about to understand it. And the second thing is in some of these types of situations, managing the sex or the intimacy seems like you should focus on managing the ADD first, and some of that, this will take care of itself. Is that, would you agree?
That's,
or?
That's certainly true for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is certainly true, because then, you know, you don't have, I mean, if you're going to bed angry at night because your partner keeps doing these things that are so destructive, you know, you're not feeling very amorous.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the physical symptoms themselves that can interfere. You know, one of the next one on the survey, my partner gets easily distracted during sex. You know, that's like 30% too. So one in three.
Hey, well, the thing that kind of jumps out is I always kind of make light of the top 10 solutions, and the thought of maybe taking, if you're a medication-type person, the thought of taking fast-acting in the evening to kind of to help your symptoms so you're not as distracted is not something I think is that would come to most people's mind. And as you start to think about these things and start to think along the ADHD, all of a sudden, you know, thoughts and new ideas kind of come in that really make a little bit of sense in order to kind of help improve some of the stuff as a result.
Right, and I think it's, you know, it's how I opened the book, you know, that people think that somehow sex should be this ADHD-free zone, and it's not. So if you have that mindset, if you know that you might need, if not medication, then some kind of environmental support, you know, a quiet room or setting the mood with a, you know, candlelight, things that reinforce in the person's mind, oh, this is what I'm here for, you know. And it's what, you know, a lot of people in general do, you know, the you know, Barry White or whoever, you know, the music, because, you know, we know that people with ADHD, and of course people in general, respond to their environment. And the more environmental cues you have as to what the purpose is at that point, you know, the better you're going to do.
Absolutely. Well, Gina, I'd certainly like to thank you again for coming on to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. It's a lot of fun. You ask great questions, and you're a lot of fun, and you're doing a great service here.
I really kind of appreciate it. Again, everyone, if you would like to learn more, I encourage you to go check out her book at ADHDRollerCoaster.com. We are just covering a very small sliver of really what's in the book. There's a lot of other great stuff that's in there, and I encourage you to do that. And with that, thanks again. Everybody, check us out at on our new Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AttentionTalkRadio, and there you can see a list of all of our upcoming shows, and you can even access this show in our archives by going to the archive tab after it runs. So with that, everybody have a great time. We'll catch you later.